Thank you. Good evening. It's nice to see you all. Thank you back with you to preach the gospel here in our leaving. And if you have a Bible with you, you turn with me to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. And we'll just read a few verses together from verse 4. Numbers 21, verse 4, and it says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this white bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and he bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord, and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Amen. Surely the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Now, every Friday, between August and around about March, I have the pleasure of working with various other Christians in the church that I would meet with back in Ladybank. And we have a youth club. And every Friday night we have table tennis and snooker and games and such like. And the young people of the locality would come in, and myself and my brother-in-law and our chap Mark Monroe would take turns in sharing the good news of the gospel with these young people. And for the past year and a half, we've been looking at roughly from Genesis to where we are right now. But the problem is, when you stand up to speak, you often find that people in front of you haven't been there the last week. Might have been there the last week, but not the week before, and they were there 2 weeks before that. So you often find that folk don't really follow what you're speaking about. So normally when I speak, I think it's very helpful to give a slight recap of what's gone before. Now, I'm sure you can all count. I'm sure your maths are excellent down here in Methil. But if you think about it, where we need to go back is to Genesis chapter 1 to really understand where we're coming from. Now, if you can add up, you realise that Genesis has 50 chapters, Exodus has 40, Leviticus has 27, and we've just read Numbers chapter 21. So I'm going to have to summarise around about 139 chapters, and we finish at 7:15. So please kind of bear with me, but hopefully you'll understand what I'm getting at. So let's just look for a verse or two, just one verse. Right at the beginning of the Bible, I'm sure it's a verse that's familiar. See, Genesis chapter 1. And verse 1. In the Word of God, this is what we're reading. We're reading the Word of God. It says this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." No big bang, nothing else. God created the heavens and the earth. If we were to read through the book of Genesis chapter 1, we'd be reminded of all the things that God did in creation. Now, if it was young people, we'd have a question, wouldn't we? And we'd remind ourselves what God did on each of those days. Day 1, light and darkness. Day and night. 2, God created the sky. Day 3, the earth, and separates the land from the sea. He takes all manner of plant life and trees. Day 4, the sun, moon, and stars. Day 5, everything in the water and in the air. And day 6, God creates life on earth, and he creates man in his own image at the end of chapter 1. And on day 7, beginning of chapter 2, God rests. And God rests not because he was weary, but because the work was complete. The creative work was complete, so he rested. But Genesis chapters 2 to 3 tell us why we are here tonight. But God created man in his own image. Man didn't sin. And God gave man a very simple rule. He gave him a garden to tend, didn't he? A garden in Eden. And he said to him, "Don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." But what did man do? He took off the fruit of the tree and he ate it. And sin entered And that, as a result of that, you and I are sinners. The Word of God, the Bible, tells us that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, everyone here, everyone back in Ladybank, everyone in the world, everyone in Methil, and everywhere else, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we are separated from God because of that. God is perfect, and when you look around the world, and the sin and the evil that is in this world, it's hard to realize and hard to get into your mind that God is completely perfect. And there's nothing imperfect about God, because God is holy. God is holy. And because of our sin, we are separated from God, and sin has consequences in life, at work, at school, wherever you are, at home. Things have consequences, and sin has consequences. And the consequence of our sin is an eternity separated from God, because there's nothing that you can do or that I can do in ourselves that could bring us back to God. And that's why we're here tonight. To be reminded why God sent His Son, His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on that cross at Calvary. And if we were to read together in John chapter 3, verse 16, we'd be reminded of those well-known verses. For all have sinned. All. No, John 3. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What happened after Eden? What happened after Eden? If we were to continue through that, would be the stories we shared with the young people in Ladybank, would be reminded about Noah. And Noah, as you will recall, built an ark. But why did God, why did Noah need an ark? Noah needed to build that ark because God was going to judge sin. God judges sin. As we said already, God is a holy God, and God hates sin. And God had looked at the earth, and He did not like the sin. He did not like the way the man and woman were living. He prepared a way of escape, a method of salvation for Noah and for his whole family. And they were taken away from that. They were saved from the flood and from God's judgment. And just like Noah, you and I can be saved from God's judgment. We also read about, in Genesis, we read about Abraham. And you remember about Abraham. Abraham lived in a place called Ur of the Chaldees, and God called him. And He made a promise to him, even as an old man. He would have a son. He would have an heir. He would be taken to a land of milk and honey. And as time passed, we would read, and we always read, that God keeps His words. God keeps His promises. And we read about that son Isaac. And Isaac was made a promise that his family would be as the stars of the heaven. And Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob, who was the father of 12 sons, was told that his seed would be like the dust of the earth. So that man Joseph, that man Jacob, had 12 sons. And we read about Joseph, who was one of the sons who was despised by his brothers. And Jacob had made Joseph a coat of many colours. And the rest of the brothers despised him. And it's a terrible thing. And I've got a little brother, I don't think I'd do this to a little brother, but they sold their brother into slavery. They told their father he was dead, and they sold him into slavery. But God is in control. And we must realise that God is in control of everything. And Joseph was sold into slavery into Egypt. But God blessed Joseph. God blessed him because Joseph knew God. I wonder if you know God. And Joseph rose to be the head of a man called Potiphar's household. But then he was falsely accused of something, and he was thrown into jail. But God continued to bless him. And he was brought before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and through a wonderful series of events, he became second in command in his great country of Egypt, except for Pharaoh himself. And as time would pass, a family would come across the land, and it would affect his brothers and his family back where they were, and they would come out of where they were to Egypt. And God preserved that whole family, and they were reconciled with their brother, Joseph. And they stayed in Egypt, Jacob and his 12 sons, and God was in control. So there we are, 5 minutes past, and we're just at the end of Genesis, we've got a little bit to go. But I can see some of you are kind of fading a bit, so I've got something for you. Because when you speak to children, you have to keep their attention. It's not easy to keep their attention. Now, as I said to you already, one of the advantages of speaking to children is you can talk quizzes, not many other quizzes. But when you speak to young people, to children, they'll have a speech. And like the advice, normally you ask them a question. If you've got a question that you've nearly yet, I'll try it. We're just going up to the end and ask you a very simple question. Would you like to tell me? If you really need to speak, it's okay. You'll have to take one to one. Some do, some don't. I'm sure we're going to have a quiz later on if you really want to. So there we are. Look to the book of Exodus. Genesis, I don't know, we'll give us some things that happened in the book of Exodus. In Exodus, 400 years almost have passed since the end of Genesis, and God has blessed Joseph and his family mightily, and they've become a huge number of people, greatly multiplied, and they were oppressed by the Egyptians, greatly oppressed. But God calls this man called Moses, and he tells him what to do, and he tells him he's going to take his people away from the land of Egypt and away from the people of the Egyptian. But Pharaoh refuses to let the people go, and then God judges the Egyptians with 10 plagues. And I'm sure the young people back later, a lady back, would tell me what the 10 plagues were. We'll just remind ourselves: there were water into blood, there was frogs, there was gnats, there was flies, death of the livestock, there were boils, there were hail, there was locusts, there was darkness over the land for 3 days, and then there was a 10th plague. What happened with the 10th plague was God said to Moses, he gave instructions for the children of Israel, his chosen people, how they could be saved from the judgment that was coming, which would be the death of the firstborn. He was to take a lamb, and they were to put a lamb to death, and they were to paint the blood of the lamb on the side and the doorpost of their door, and then God would pass over the judgment from them. But the people of Egypt, they rejected God, and God judged them for their sin. And God still judges sin. After the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh let the people go. But then he changes his mind, and he chases after them, and then God destroys Pharaoh in the Red Sea and judges them there. And then God gives Moses some instructions. He gives him laws by which to live by for the people. He gives him the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. And he provided food for the people as well. He provided manna. He provided manna for the children of Israel to eat when they were wandering in the wilderness. God provided something for us. God provided for us a method of escape. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins on Calvary's cross. And we thought these Ten Commandments just now And when I look at myself and I think about my life, and I'm 39 now, and I don't look it, but I'm 39. And I think about what I've done with my life, and I realize I'm a sinner. I realize that I'm a sinner, and I wonder if you realize that you are a sinner and you've disobeyed God's word. And as we said earlier on, God hates sin. And if you haven't come to God in repentance and believing in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for salvation, then you're not right with God. And if you reject God, one day you'll be rejected yourself. We all sin. We have all sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But now we come to a little portion of Scripture. A little portion of Scripture in Numbers. I'm sure you'll be glad we're not going to go through all these other wonderful books and chapters in the New Testament, because it's rather warm. And we read just now about what the people had done. You see, God had provided food for the people. He had provided food. And the people sinned and they spoke against God and against Moses. And that's why God sent the serpents. But God provided a way of salvation. He provided that serpent, that bronze serpent, for the people. That whosoever looked on the serpent that had been bitten would be healed. Now, I wonder if you're wondering why I gave you some sweeties. There's actually a reason for it. There was a reason for it. I don't know if you looked at what I had in my hand. I had a box of celebrations. And it's an interesting thing. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, well, there will be salvations in heaven. But you coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. I don't know if you looked at my box. I bought enough for everyone. I had extra ones here just in case there was more folk here. But I bought more than enough for everyone. And when I consider the bond serpent, it wasn't limited, was it? It wasn't limited to, well, just a couple of folk. It was whosoever. Whosoever looked in upon it, on the serpent that had been bitten, would live. And whosoever wanted a sweetie, all you had to do was take it in the hand and enjoy it. There was provision for everyone. And God provides a way for us to be reconciled to Him. It's simple. If you wanted a sweetie tonight, it's quite easy. All you have to do is put out your hand and take it and eat it and enjoy it. And it's still the same for salvation. It's simple. All you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. There's no restrictions. It's free. It's not based on your intelligence, your age, where you come from, what you've done. It's open to anyone. What a relief. Isn't it wonderful? It's not based on good works either. The word of God would remind us that it is by grace you're saved through faith. It's not works. It's not yourself. If anyone should boast. I wonder if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. You know, it's something you can't do it yourself. You can't do it for someone else, rather. It's something you have to decide for yourself. And when I asked Frank Keith, and he wanted a sweetie, I asked him to say this, but he said it anyway. He said, maybe some other time. And maybe that's your response regarding salvation. Maybe you didn't want a sweetie, and maybe you don't want salvation. Maybe some other time. Well, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. The word of God will tell us now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. God loves us. He loves us, and He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bear our punishment, the punishment that you and I deserve, by dying for us on a cross at Calvary. And praise God, He rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave on the third day, and He's now ascended and at the right hand of God. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to have the assurance of knowing that when this life is over, you'll be able to go to heaven. I pray that God will bless you and help you understand the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity and the necessity of having your sins forgiven. And I hope you understand that God loves you and that He sent His Son to die for you. Let's have a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we come before you and we thank you again for the good news of the gospel.
Now, God, we pray tonight, if there's anything tonight, as we said, that isn't of you, you'll take it away, your God. And we'll be reminded again of what you've done for us and how much you loved us in sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us on that cross at Calvary. Our God, how wonderful that you could send your perfect Son to die for us. We pray you'll bless us, our God, for coming here, bless our friends and family and those at home that would like to have been here tonight but couldn't manage. We pray, our God, that you'll just be with us as we ask these things. In the name of your Son, for his Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.